And he cried out, "No man cared for my soul." You can almost feel his loneliness. The feeling of loneliness, folks, it's strong today. Over 7 billion people on this planet. And there are more people alive right now than at any time in recorded history. And yet we have more people who are lonely than ever before. With 7 billion people on this planet. So what's the problem here? Why? How can we be lonely with all of these people around us? Is that possible? Let me ask you this, and you don't have to raise your hand as a confession, okay? But is it possible to sit here in this congregation and feel lonely during a service? Absolutely. Some time ago, someone placed this ad in a Kansas newspaper. Here's what it said. "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. That was the ad he placed. Did anyone call? You bet they did. He got 10 to 20 calls a day. And he didn't have to say anything. Just listen for 30 minutes. And folks, that's $100 a day for doing nothing but just listening. Every time your phone rings, cha-ching, another $5. So what is it that makes people lonely? All right, maybe we should back up to there. You know, it's different things for different people. For some people, it's divorce or separation. For others, it's death that causes loneliness. Death brings separation. For the unsaved, that's forever. But for Christians, we need to keep this in mind. It's only a temporary separation before a reunion. But nonetheless, it's still very real, isn't it? I still recall very vividly the day that my best friend, Pastor Warren Brokering, died. It was about 10 years or so ago. It was just after I had left here and went to Georgetown. And he had died. I was there in the room with him as he took his last breath. And, oh man, that hurt. That hurt. I mean, he lived in Indiana. I lived in Illinois. And yet the loneliness just flooded me. And I remember calling my dad and saying, "Dad, I know he's in heaven, but it still hurts." And he says, "That's the flesh." It's still, I knew he was in heaven. I knew that I would see him again, but yet it's still very real. And loneliness is a very real thing. Just stand with the widow at the cemetery as she lays her husband to rest. Try to imagine the loneliness that really hasn't even started yet for that person. Family and friends, they're all there on that day. And I always try to impress upon people at a graveside service this very fact right here. Because see, for most of us at the graveside, come the next day or maybe the day after that, if we have to travel home, guess what happens? We're back to work. We're checking our mail, we're getting bills, we're writing checks, we're paying our bills, we're running our kids. Life just starts rolling on. But for some, it doesn't. And they have to kind of adjust to a new normal. And loneliness is many times a part of that. So death is definitely something that can bring loneliness. But then there's division, okay? We all love division, don't we? Don't say yes. Family feuds. Friends upset over an offense that someone else said or did. Churches dividing, and not over doctrine, but over petty problems. Division can cause loneliness. Disappointment. I'm talking extreme disappointment here. And that this can be the first step to a downward slide. I think of singles, for example, who are really hoping for a particular... marriage, and then it doesn't. Crushing disappointment for that person. Loneliness. How about a needed departure? Fathers and mothers sending their sons into the service to go overseas. Maybe their last hug for a long, long while. Some of you folks in here have maybe done that before. Parents sending sons and daughters to a college far away, like California. Why did I ever do that? I keep asking myself that. Family separated from family members because of marriage or a job change. How about those servants of God that are part of our families? We call them missionaries. Moving away to countries all the way around the world to reach people with the gospel, never seeing their families here for years on end, the families they left behind. All of these different things can cause loneliness. But how about one more? How about demanding your rights? Ooh, how can that cause loneliness? Well, we focus on our rights. By the way, we have none. Doesn't matter what the Constitution says. We have no rights. We are bond slaves to Christ. But we believe that our rights have been violated. And what happens? Well, we didn't get what we wanted. We didn't get what we wanted when we wanted it or how we wanted it. And what happens? A pity party starts setting in. And then we become so self-absorbed with our problems and getting our way that we get lonely. Because there's just, you know, at a pity party, there's just you. That's it. Nobody enjoys loneliness. And God knows that, by the way. Not only did He intend us not to be lonely, but get this. He made provision in order that we might not have to suffer loneliness. And yet, many people who are suffering loneliness are Christians. Now, how foolish is that? Because God's already provided for us to not be lonely. So let's understand this. Understanding loneliness, okay? First of all, loneliness, folks, is an attitude. It's not a matter of geography. Oh, I live here all by myself and all my family's there and I'm lonely. It's not a matter of geography. It's not a matter of circumstances in life. Aren't there plenty of people around? I mean, look in the room here. Lots of people around. But we choose to build walls instead of bridges in our lives. And we do that. We choose to do. with me and strengthened me. See, he was alone, but not lonely. Folks, God created us with needs for periods of time to be alone. We don't always have to have someone around us or voices going on in the room with us. It's okay to be quiet. Last night after my wife and I finished moving things into our home that we're moving to, we sat down. It was quiet. We didn't hear a thing. It was wonderful. Okay? And God created us to need that. Times where we are alone. We need time to be alone with God. We need time to be alone with ourselves. Just ask any mother with preschoolers how important their child's nap time is in their life. It's some alone time, right? We don't always need to have the TV on in the background or a radio going. God designed us to sometimes just shut down, shut things out, and just alone time with God. But he also created us with needs for periods of time not to be alone. There's not one verse in the Bible that supports the idea of a monk in a monastery, okay? You understand what a monk is, right? Seal themselves away from everybody. Total isolation from everybody, everything. The idea of taking a vow of silence. Really, when I think of some of you, I'm thinking, yeah, right. A vow of silence, okay? Or a vow to live separated from the rest of the world. Folks, that's not godly. What's my point here with this? God has not called you to isolate yourself in a literal monastery that you call home. God has not called you to isolate yourself in an emotional self-made monastery either. That's not godly. You can be in a crowd and be lonely. Or you can be alone and not be lonely. Both of those are possible. You see, it all comes down to a choice that you make. Is that the choice that you made today, by the way? We have a growing church family here, folks. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But we're also divided into small groups. Small groups for fellowship, small groups for ministry, small groups, even smaller groups within the small groups to fellowship and do ministry with one another. You can get involved, or you can fold your arms and say, I don't need to be in a group. I don't need anyone. And it always amazes me. Well, I can't say all the time, but many times when someone's not happy and feeling alone, they're almost always never part of any one of these smaller fellowship groups. And they're almost always never involved in ministry anywhere in the church. A pastor was doing some phone calling one day, and he called one of the recent visitors to his church. And a voice answered the phone. When he called, there was a voice on the other end. It was just whispering. Sounded like a little kid. He said, hello. And the pastor said, who is this? He said, this is Jimmy. He said, how old are you, Jimmy? He said, 4. Jimmy, may I please speak to your mom? She's busy. Well, could I speak to your father? He's busy too. Well, are there any other adults at your house? The police. And the pastor says, okay, let me speak to one of the police officers. They're busy. Well, who else is there? The firemen. Well, can I talk to one of the firemen? They're busy. He said, Jimmy, what are all these busy people doing? They're looking for me. Now look, all those people looking for Jimmy chose to be alone. It's kind of silly, isn't it? And yet we do the same thing. We do the same thing. It's a choice, folks. Let's move on. Some steps to overcome loneliness. If you haven't been there, you're going to be there. Okay? So here's what we do. First of all, repent. Oh, did I just say that word? You got to take ownership of it, folks. We got to take ownership. We can be alone, but if it turns into loneliness, we need to repent. Repent of your sins and receive Christ as your Savior if you're not saved. Why do I say that? John 1:11, it says, He came unto His own. His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Folks, there isn't anyone who understands loneliness like Christ. Think about it. You wonder, how could He know loneliness? One day, He was nailed to a cross. Nobody around but Roman soldiers and two thieves. There was a mocking crowd that spit on Him, cursed at Him. In the distance, John and Mary, His friends had already fled. One of His friends even betrayed Him, and one denied even knowing Him. Talk about feeling lonely. I would, wouldn't you? But the thing that brought the greatest loneliness to Christ of His last words on the cross, where He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Words can't describe the suffering of loneliness on the hours of the cross. Jesus felt with intensity what no man has ever felt before. I don't care how lonely you think you've been or you are, it's nothing compared to what Christ felt. God departing from Him. He took our sin and became so lonely that you and I never have to be lonely again. Yeah. He took our sin. He went through that separation, that loneliness, so that we never have to be lonely again. The never be lonely again that's possible. Christ made it possible. We choose to reject it. If you're truly lonely today, you don't have to be. I kind of feel sorry for lonely Christians. Now think about this. When we look at what we just looked at, what Christ did so that we don't ever have to be lonely, for a Christian to be lonely, it's like fasting on Thanksgiving Day. Think about that. You don't need to fast when it's time to feast, right? You don't need to be lonely when God has offered to be your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We need to repent. Okay? Then next, we have to recall the promises of God and obey His commands. Get God's promises in your heart. Do you know what those promises are, by the way? Do you know? If I were to talk with you in my office, and you're lonely, and I'm going to help you with it if you're ever lonely, okay? I'm not going to just say, well, choose not to be. Get over it. I'm not going to do that. We're going to go through these steps. And I'm going to say, okay, tell me what the Bible says. Then that's where we need to start. We need to know what God's promises are like. Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How about Matthew 28:20? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, four times Christ said, He's with us. He's not leaving. It's forever. He's going with us. Which one of those are you going to reject? To hang on to your loneliness. For a Christian to choose to be lonely, it's to reject those promises of God. God says, I will always be with you. We say, no, you won't. Who said you won't? Who says that? I never say that. Do you say that? We do every time we choose loneliness. We're saying, I don't believe in God. I don't think you're going to be with me always. I don't think you're with me now. I'm all alone, right? We need to know God's promises, and then we have to obey the Bible. Now, that's particularly hard to do when you don't feel like it, right? I think it's hard to obey anything when you don't feel like obeying it. God doesn't allow us to undergo temptations and trials that we can't handle, folks. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taken you such as God has commanded. Whatever it is that's going through our life, that's going on in our life, and we just don't deal with it, it's too far gone, it's over the edge, there's no coming back, we need to recall 1 Corinthians 10:13. Whatever it is in your life, this is swallowing you up right now. Is God bigger than that issue? Absolutely. We know that. And yet God allowed it to happen in your life. Yes. And God's sovereign. But He allowed it. Maybe by your own choices you created the issue. I don't know. But God says, I will not let you be in a circumstance that you can't handle or that I don't provide a way of escape for. There's a promise from God. Sometimes we would rather have convenience and comfort, but God's more concerned with character through some of these things. Now, as a Christian, you may suffer temporary loneliness, but may I remind you that it is absolutely impossible to be alone. God is on the inside as a Christian, in your soul, right there. And now, these next two things that we're going to look at are very important. Now, the first two are kind of, Bible truth, okay, kind of like the Sunday school answers we're supposed to have. And I'm just going to warn you, the next two is taking the first two and applying them and us doing something. Okay, I'm just giving you a fair warning. So if you want to leave now, you can. You can walk out feeling good like, oh, those are wonderful promises. Okay, because now we're going to start looking at what we have to do. We repent. We recall the promises of God. And then thirdly, we reveal yourself to somebody. Reveal yourself to somebody. In other words, you're experiencing loneliness, find someone and open your heart to them. Become a prayer partner with someone. Become a discipler. You discipling someone else. Pour your life into someone else instead of sitting around waiting for someone to pour their life into you and then getting on Facebook and whining about how nobody's reaching out to you. Yeah, you've read stuff like that, haven't you? Shame on them. They should be pouring their lives into someone else. Instead of waiting for someone to call them and say, hey, how was your day? Here's what Proverbs 18:24 says. A man that hath friends must what? Show himself friendly. You be friendly, you will have friends. If you're not friendly, you won't have friends. And also, reach out and serve somebody else. That means to meet someone else's needs. Do something for someone. Folks, every Sunday is another opportunity to invite people over to your home. I mean, you do eat, don't you? Sunday after church? So just put an extra plate down on your table. I don't have any money. I didn't say go out to eat. You're going to go eat somewhere, okay? If all you're having is a piece of bread and butter, split the bread in half. Invite someone over. Serve them half a piece of bread and butter. I guarantee you, the next time you invite them over to eat, they'll say, oh, you know what? Why don't I take you out for dinner after church on Sunday? I saw someone do it. Well, after we first got married, I already opened the door, honey. Sorry. My wife figured out real quick her dad didn't like her casseroles that she would make. So every time they came to visit, she would make a casserole and we would go out to eat. Or she would say, I think I'll have a casserole for dinner tonight. Oh, hey, let's go out to eat. Come on, favorite daughter, let me take you out to eat. Yes, it worked again. Here we go. 1 Peter 4:9, it says, use hospitality one to another. Folks, we have some people, some Christians expect hospitality to be done to them. And they get all mopey in the face when it's not done to them. We are commanded to do hospitality one to another. It goes back and forth. Jesus Christ is enough when you don't have anybody but Him. That's all we need. And we are, as we sang at the beginning, never alone. Amen? We're going to stop there for tonight and have some prayer time.